numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, I believe I forget, neglected to give a pro tip of the first hour.
Yeah, we had important things to talk about.
You did.
I had to wait.
Pro tip, pro tip, pro tip. If looking to bet Aaron Rodgers' next team now, just be aware a lot of these odds are shifting based on things he said at Pebble Beach. Keep in mind the Packers still have control over his future. It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. We get tweets at Beating the Books. Southern Capper. My thumbs were patiently waiting to bet OKC Moneyline before the restart. The Thunder weren't there for a show. The Lakers seemed to be finished with the game. That is interesting to say that in retrospect because LeBron's like, now let's go out and win it. But you're right. It was so clear afterwards. They did.
Yeah.
Oh, remember, they got it to I think they got it tied, and then OKC led by seven like a blink later.
I had the same thought because that's what you and I were exchanging texts. We kind of had different thoughts on that. I didn't end up doing anything, though. It's one of those games I'm sitting here afterward mad at myself for not hopping in live at like on different things at different moments. Like the over was so obvious by midway through the second quarter.
Will Hill, who's about to join us, or he said it probably more succinctly, which is, or maybe the Lakers just suck, which is, which is right.
Yeah, you have to take that into account.
Teasers and parlays. I've been doing this wrong. I need to start making important life decisions after 4 days in a dark hut. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney. Rodgers might last the 4 days. The walls, floor, and ceiling will be communing with him and gently rolling him along. Then the shrooms wear off and it all hits the fan. Johnny Ringo. Winning games doesn't seem to be as important as the spotlight. Hashtag LeBron. See, why? Even after he breaks the record, people got to take shots at LeBron.
Yeah.
Come on. Carl Neufeld. Gil, you wouldn't have to worry about it coming down to the last minute of the game and have it stop for all the hoopla. LeBron wouldn't take the shot to decide the game. See what? Blasphemy. People just killing him. Just set the record, man. Bruce Dobiggin. LeBron ties Gordie Howe in 14 years with the longest career as a GOAT. Just saying. Yeah, man. He's been the GOAT forever. Corbin. If I come to Vegas and get in on the promotional meet and greet with you and Kelly, the only way I'll agree to it is if we can do mushrooms in the studio, blacked out, and doing a show in the morning. Maybe there's a reason this show isn't on Radio Row. You're on to us. You finally figured it out. Jesse Welch, listen, I truly respect Drew Dinsick and his opinion on the Super Bowl. He just made me seriously reconsider my hedge situation for the big game. Joe Nigro, were there any tennis picks, and if so, should I go ham on them? Well, don't go ham. Shelby Rogers this morning. I don't know if that started. And plus money. And then later today, Mackie McDonald is a big dog against Tiafo. Spiderweb. Have a prop bet I've been digging into. Total punts from both teams under 7.5 and under total yardage from punts under 340. I have many reasons for playing it, but curious to you and Kelly's thought. Great show. And damn, we should have won that tennis play yesterday. Yeah, we should have. I have no thoughts on the punt prop.
I think that if you were listening to Drew, he would probably agree with you on those. If you're getting a more up-tempo game, at least from, in Drew's mind, right, you're going to get the scoring from the Chiefs. He thinks it's more higher variable what could happen with the Chiefs or with the Eagles side of it as far as scoring. But yeah, I guess I would definitely lean under on those two. No bet for me though.
William Hilliam joins us, ladies and gentlemen, at not the Will Hill, Visa contributor. Looking good, as always. How you doing, man?
Yo, what's going on? Radio Row looks suspiciously like your studio at the South Point. Is that a replica? How do they do that?
Yeah, we might still be here.
We wanted to make it look as home as possible.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're actually on the 18th green over at Waste Management, but we just decided to keep it homely right here. Yeah. How you doing, man? You good? Were you involved in LeBron's thing yesterday? Did you have a bet?
No, I just bet OKC because, like you said, the Lakers are terrible. Everyone spent so much time. Who should they trade these picks for? Beasley of Utah. This team is not one player away. I know Kyrie would have made them really good. That would have been a tremendous offensive team. They're just not very good. And, it's funny with the situation last night. I think if the Lakers came back to win, I think we play the results either way.
Like, the Lakers came
back to win. Everyone would have said, oh, LeBron carried them to a victory. Yep. It was a storybook ending. And then if they lose, it's because they're distracted. It's like, they're just not very good. OKC, by the way, that's a fun team to watch. They're athletic. They're young. They got picks coming. That kid Joe hits everything.
Three. Man.
And Philly gave him away. They waived him. He's got a 3-year, $6 million contract in a league where threes are gold, man. That guy's a good player.
By the way, this is the best. I was giving LeBron stats earlier. Like, you know, he's just shy of a career 40,000, 10,000, 10,000 triple-double. He has been to more NBA finals than all but three franchises in the NBA. Lakers, Celtics, wow. Warriors. It's just ridiculous. That guy, one dude, amazing. 19-time All-Star, of course, on top of everything. All right, Super Bowl 57. Let's start there. What have you bet? What are you betting?
Well, I mean, I listened to Drew earlier, so I guess I have to go out and borrow some money to bet more on the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs, but my goodness.
That was very passion speech, yes.
Yeah, it's like back in school, you had to write the persuasive papers. Man, he did a hell of a job, talking up KC. I like the Chiefs. I think I like the over more, just because I think the Chiefs are always going to get their 30 or so points. I do think Philly's going to move the ball. I don't love this Chiefs defense. KC's really bad in the red zone. If you look at Philly, you know, their quarterbacks they faced, I mean, they gave up 34 to Dak. They gave up 33 to Aaron Rodgers. The rest of their quarterbacks, it's a lot of Heineke, Wentz, Daniel Jones on their schedule, Davis Mills. They really haven't been tested. So I think both teams will get their points. The only thing that makes me nervous a little bit about the over is Super Bowls tend to be, low scoring early on. There's a feeling out process. It's the Super Bowl. Everybody's nervous. The players, the coaches, the people that clean the hotel rooms are nervous. So I would probably bet the over, but if you want to wait and see a drive or two and then bet it, I can understand that as well.
Have you bet any props?
Oh, I got a bunch of props. Under Elliott points, I just don't think they're going to, kick field goals. I think they'll go for it. Philly will. If they get in the red zone, KC's going to score. So having to keep up with KC, I think, you're probably not going to kick field goals. You'll probably go for it. So under Elliott points, I took Mahomes over passing yards, and I have Kelce over catches, 6.5.
Yeah, I feel like everybody who has conviction on the Chiefs are also making big Kelce bets. That's how you should bet. You should bet correlated props to your game conviction. I've got the 2+ touchdowns at +475, even though he's only scored multiple touchdowns in two games this year, just because I don't think it doesn't matter. Mahomes will find that guy. So I'm all about the at any bullish Kelce props.
I don't even have the strongest Chiefs conviction. I think it's still a good
Yeah.
day. I mean, as far as healthy options that he has out there, we know how much he trusts the guy. I think he's going to have so many targets in this game. It could easily get there.
I think the Mahomes rushing prop is a little low, too. 19.5, 20.5 with Oof. 2 weeks to get that ankle. I mean, that's a break glass in case of emergency, situation. It's the Super Bowl. Everything's on the line. All it takes is 2 or 3 scampers. Now, again, if you think the Chiefs are going to win, you have to worry about the kneel downs at the end, which is, of course, an issue. But that 19.5, 20.5 seems a little low. He runs more than that. So that would be one I'd look at, too.
I've gotten close to pulling the trigger on that as well. I'm with you, Will. It's the last game of the year, right? No matter how banged up he might be, I don't care. I think he sees a window to run. It's to go pick up a first down that's 7 yards away. He's taken off.
And it couldn't possibly happen 2 times where he breaks it and then and then kneels. How many yards did he lose the last time doing that?
Because San Fran, he had to have lost 20 yards.
He lost double-digit yards because it wasn't just 2 kneel downs. There was one where he just backed up and backed up, right?
Yeah, he did the couple trot back and then kneeled down.
Oh, it's brutal. That can't possibly happen twice, can it? No, of course not. All right, NBA tonight, what do you got?
I played over 239 Kings-Rockets. I don't get this line. These teams have played 3 times.
Let's go.
Twice it's gone in the 250s, and the other night it was 260. And I don't know if you saw Silas's speech at the end of the game Monday night. It was sort of an awkward press conference thing where he's, killing his team, but it wasn't that impassioned. It was strange, but neither team plays any defense. So I'll go over 239 there. And then I played a few college games. I played Florida +10. I think there's some 10.5s out there in a couple books. And I played Vandy +10.5. Look, I know it's wide open. Everyone says it's wide open. Tennessee's not winning. Rick Barnes is not winning a championship. That offense is awful. So laying 10.5 with Tennessee on the road, I will take Vandy plus the points. And probably my favorite play of the night in college is West Virginia -3.5 against Iowa State, West Virginia's home. I just don't know that Iowa State's game travels. First of all, they're coming off a huge win against Kansas. And Iowa State turns the ball over a lot. They foul a lot. Remember, they blew that big lead against Texas Tech. Monday night last week. They have the profile of a team that can blow leads when you foul a lot and you turn the ball over a lot. So I really like West Virginia. I think they'll apply pressure at home defensively. I that's probably my favorite play of the night, West Virginia.
Good college basketball night. Was it you who sent me the Rick Barnes tweet? Somebody, forgive me for not knowing who did this, but what was the comparison about Rick Barnes?
I sent it to you. I'm trying to think of what it was. It was something funny, though. But look, he's not going to, I mean, it's every year. It might have been related to the fact that he had Durant and a couple more pros and couldn't get out of the Sweet 16.
It had something to do with December, all the hope, January, it sort of starts to get extinguished.
Yes.
March, But it was a great comparison. Anyway, I botched that because I can't remember what specifically the joke was. But yes, that's the Rick Barnes experience on it. By the way, in-game betting, Todd Wishnev, who's going to join us on the Megapod, of course, he was murdering it last night. It's like 8-1 on these in-game bets in college basketball. It really is. If you can really harness pace and foul situation, we always drive this home when Wishnev is here. It is really night to night, and it's a grind because it's not always going to go your way. But night to night, it's one of the more civilized way to bet on sports. That's for sure. It's amazing.
Yeah, you're relying on a lot of teenagers to hit free throws, and you're winning and losing by a half a point a lot of times, but it is a good method for me.
He does a great job with it. Will, plug it. What do you got?
Twitch.tv/GoBoysNetwork, GoBoys Discord. Appreciate it, Gil. See you guys.
You had a great write-up on why you thought OKC might win that game outright last night, as a matter of fact, on his Twitch. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
At not the Will Hill. That's with two E's on the on Twitter. We'll come back. Waste management. Kelly's got golf thoughts. Rufus Peabody as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The big game means big coverage from VSiN, starting with the Lombardi line. Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, will have pregame insights you don't want to miss. Special editions of Follow the Money with Paulie Howard and Mitch Moss. A numbers game with me, Gil Alexander. We tackle last-second line moves on the game and dive deeper into props. And legendary sports broadcaster Brent Musburger will tell you how he's betting the big game on Countdown to Kickoff. Big Game Sunday starts 10 a.m. Eastern right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You looking forward to that, Kelly? Sunday, we're here. Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Where is everybody? It's like everybody's out of town or something.
I was like, what do you mean? We're all back here.
I don't know. It seems kind of empty around here. This was the Rick Barnes thing. This comes from Bob Lupton. So I want to give credit where credit is due. Bob Lupton said from a friend. He got this from a friend. He goes, Rick Barnes is like the flu. Starts in November, comes on strong in December, peaks in January, and is gone by March.
That's very good.
Funniest, most apt description I've ever heard of a sports coach, he said. It's very, very
that
true.
That feels like one of those, though, that you could use for him and then, like, save that for 5 years from now to use for recycle for another coach.
That's great. All right. It is maybe the most enjoyable golf tournament of the entire calendar. I know there's the Masters, and that's a beautiful thing in and of itself. All the majors, but there is nothing as raucous in golf as the Waste Management Phoenix Open, where fans are encouraged, imagine, golf tournament, to go crazy. And go crazy they do. And God forbid you have a hole-in-one, because there will be alcohol spritzed everywhere.
At the Coliseum, 16, the stadium hole. It's crazy.
That's worth the trip to Phoenix alone,
it
quite
really
frankly.
Is.
Yep. And Matt Brown will be hanging out there, I'm sure.
Yep, Matt will be at the golf tournament. Yep.
Yep. Okay, so you held back last week at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. You're like, I don't like this so much. The field is kind of fakakta. I believe that was the word you used, fakakta.
Exactly, yeah. Brendan almost got it done.
Another second place finish for you?
Yep. Up to two already this year, Gil.
It's like Wes Reynolds hits outrights like you hit second place finishes.
We're recording long shots yesterday, and Matt like sets me up to congratulate Wes. And I'm like, this is always an awkward feeling as a bettor, right? We're like, of course I'm happy for Wes.
Yeah.
But you could be pissed at the same time that you lost a bet.
Yeah, you're all trying to win.
So it was just funny. I'm like, yeah, I mean, great for you, Wes, but I kind of wish Justin Rose shanked three of those into the ocean at the end. Yeah.
Waste Management Phoenix Open. You are going heavy on this, though.
Yeah, I am. I will definitely have more money tied up in this than the Super Bowl. We kind of mentioned that yesterday. I can tell you today, as of today, I definitely do already. And thanks to some of the Las Vegas sportsbooks out there, they still don't have all their numbers posted for this.
Sure.
So I still have more bets to make on this, Gil.
What a surprise.
The biggest thing to keep in mind with this tournament this year is that this is one of these new designated events by the PGA Tour, which means more money and the stars have to play. So this is the biggest purse you've ever seen here. $20 million is what's up for grabs. 3.6 to the winner.
3.6 to the
winner. So we have surpassed what major payouts have been in years past. So, yes, Gil.
This is where I say you can knock live all you want.
Yep.
But they sure proved their point, didn't they?
Yep. No, they absolutely did. Yep. They absolutely did with that side of it, Gil. And this is – you're now talking – for me, this is it's getting up there with these are kind of major level events, right? There is the downside of this. The downside is what we had last week. Pebble Beach, beautiful golf course, nobody's there. And it's a Monday finish. You had people withdrawing from it on Sunday so they could get to Phoenix to try to qualify for this event. There's a whole lot of ups and downs, but okay, great field. You have every eligible player in the top 25 world golf rankings in attendance, except for Will Zalatoris. He is skipping this event. I believe these guys are allowed to skip one of these designated events for the select few from the tour that are in them. Again, that $20 million. If we're looking at the course real quick, 136 players in this field, top 65 in ties make the cut. We are back to a single golf course. Regular four rounds. There will be a cut on Friday. This will go into Sunday, into Super Bowl Sunday. It usually is that nice lead-in right into the Super Bowl. Par 71, we've got TPC Scottsdale. So take out a par 5, got an extra par 4. As far as the top of the odds board here, it's loaded. John Rahm, 7-1. Rory McIlroy, plus 850. Scotty Scheffler, 12-1. Xander Schauffele, 14-1. Tony Finau, 16-1. Morikawa, 16-1. Cantlay, 8-1. On and on and on to a point where you got guys like Justin Thomas that are in the 20s. This field's incredible. I love this course. I love handicapping this event. This course is a test of... It's not maybe not the toughest course that they're going to play all year, Gil, but it's a test in every aspect of golf. If you're a long off the tee, it benefits you, but it doesn't. It's not the only thing that matters. Of course, approach always matters. Of course, putting always matters. Around the green play matters here a bit. Every part of the game is going to matter at TPC Scottsdale. That's why you see some of the best in the world win this event. 13 of the last 15 winners. Had finished 11th or higher previously in this event. 11 of the last 14 have ranked in the top 55 of the world golf rankings. And 13 of the last 14 winners ranked inside top 55 in total driving. Some of the trends going in. Total driving takes both length and accuracy, so that was something I was focusing on big time this week, as well as guys that just had past success at this tournament. So if we go over to my betting card, as far as outrights that I fired on, I don't love this number. Was hoping for it to get a little bit longer, but I took 16-1 on Xander Schauffele. This guy has played this tournament incredibly well in the past and has great recent form coming into this event. He's a guy I expect to do exceptionally well this week. It was a little tough for me to get on 16-1 on him, Gil, with how stacked this field is, but I still like it. He is second in the field strokes gained over the past 5 years. His finishes T3, T2, T16, T10, and T17 over the past 5 years. Top 7 in every model that I ran. Justin Thomas, next on my card, 25-1.
How is he 20? Isn't he an auto play at that number,
yes,
no matter the tournament?
Gil, glad you jumped in with that because, yes, he is not. He didn't spike in my models for recent form and stuff like that, but he has great course history here, plays this tournament incredibly well. Another guy, last five finishes, T8, T13, T3, solo third, were his last four finishes at this tournament. So, yes, I saw a 2 in front of his name, and I said, I'm probably going to be betting that guy. So, 25-1, Justin Thomas. Max Homa.
Leaflet.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this on Long Shots a bit yesterday. Check it out. Obviously, Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds on there. Both those guys have hit outrights the past 2 weeks, so I guess I'm up. But Matt and I talked about this. Max Homa has become a world-class player. The rate at which he is winning now, I don't care that the last time out he won. A lot of handicappers look at that. I'm not going to bet this guy who just won last time. I don't care about that. This guy is up there with just about everybody else in this field now. And at 28 to 1, it's a bet on for me. It's this is another event that he has played well at, too.
That does become an immediate throwout, to use the horse racing handicapping term, for golf bettors. You won last week, you're not winning
totally.
This week.
Yeah. And I get it, because this is one of those events, Gil, where you're almost looking for excuses not to play some of these guys, right? Like Cameron Young, like he was up there in a bunch of my modeling. But I'm like, well, he was over in the Middle East playing last week, so let me just cross him off my list.
And
it's
you're
one
like,
of those.
And his name is Cam, and I hate Cam.
and I hate Cam.
You're also the first person that I have not seen bet Colin Morikawa in this tournament.
Yeah, I haven't. Well, you know, maybe you know, that might be a little bias on my end too, from him burning me, you know, earlier in the season. But I mean, look, I am not. I will stand by what I said after that tournament. I will not be betting it outright on that guy until I see him win again. I don't know how much that ROM come from behind is going to stick in his mind. However, I know Wes and Matt are both on him for this event. He makes a lot of sense here. His game, I don't have any problem with anybody betting him, but he's a pass for me this week. The one long shot I do like, Corey Connors, 77-1. It's one of the few guys I have a Masters pick in for already, too. I think his game fits really well here. Finished 12th and 18th in Hawaii earlier in the year. Mixed results at this course over the years, but it's a long number on a guy whose game fits pretty well here. And then I have top fives on all my outrights. I don't include those because I always add top five, but then played a top, except for Corey Connors. All I did was top 10 with him and then a top 40 with him. Top 20s on JT, Homa, and Sung J.M., who I do really like here as well. And then top 40, Corey Connors, Siwoo Kim, JT Post, and Hayden Buckley. That JT Post in top 40 is my largest bet of the tournament and might be my largest bet of the weekend. I don't know.
would you say that you cannot quit Sung J.M. and Siwoo Kim?
To a degree.
They always appear to be high in your model.
They are great ball strikers. And that is Matt and I have discussed this a bunch where some of the approach statistics can throw off our models a little too much, and those are guys that have great approach stats, so they're always gonna kind of move to the top of our models a little bit more. But Sungjae's got great experience at this course, great results in the past. I know a lot of people are betting him outright this week. I don't mind that bet either. I think it's a good one.
And Wes was on the show yesterday, said he's gonna have some Morikawa. He's gonna have some Tom Kim,
and I know he's on Sungjae as well. Outright.
He's on Sungjae as well. Long shots. Weekly golf podcast. Maybe you guys do it two times a week now?
Yeah, twice a week. Monday nights and Tuesday nights.
VSiN.com/podcast, where you get all of our podcasts, including Hardwood Handicappers as well. The other one, Kelly's All with JVT. Oh, and Beating the Book. A little something called Beating the Book. We'll do the Megapod after the show. Rufus Peabody joins us next. Prop week in the NFL Super Bowl.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Billy Walters, the Michael Jordan of sports bettors, reveals what's in his upcoming tell-all book in a one-hour special Thursday here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Brent Musburger sat down with Walters this week to discuss his life growing up in Kentucky, his move out to Vegas, how he rose to fame as Vegas' most feared sports bettor, his relationship with golfer Phil Mickelson, which we got into last segment, his time in prison, and much more. Go to VSiN.com for a sneak peek, including Walters' lean for Sunday's Super Bowl, and tune in for the full interview, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, tomorrow, right here at VSiN. And again, Billy Walters, again, for those who are unfamiliar, I mean, imagine being a giant in an industry in more ways than one. First, he was, in terms of handicapping with the computer group, that's really that one side, and it's not even the biggest sort of skill set. The bigger skill set became the global network of outs, which he established as well. So on both sides of things, and again, I'll quote Roxy again, who had probably more interaction with him over the years than anybody. Is he the greatest handicapper of all time? Maybe. Is he the greatest sports bettor of all time? Unquestionably. Looking forward to that interview tomorrow. Maybe the most famous American sports bettor of his generation? Well, I don't know how he would receive that kind of intro. Is with us right now, kind enough to join us in studio. He's doing a doubleheader with us, doing the Megabot afterwards. It's Rufus Peabody with a mustache, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Gil. I'm tired, but it's that time of year.
How'd you like that intro? Do you appreciate that intro? Is that a correct intro?
I would say it's a very incorrect intro, but it's very flattering.
Intros always work well when they have a question mark at the end of it.
do you like that intro?
Maybe the greatest.
Maybe. You old enough to grow that mustache? It looks good on you.
Appreciate it.
Why?
Why not?
Why?
Everybody needs a Super Bowl disguise.
Did you wake up one morning and you're like, you know what, I'm going to grow a Joe Fortenbaugh mustache and see how this goes?
No, so I was trimming up, and you know, sometimes when you're shaving, there's intermediate stages of shaving.
But they got you.
Oh, God, this is awful.
The mustache cam.
Intermediate stages of shaving.
Yeah.
Where you're like, ooh, what if I just left it like this?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, looks good on you. Let's talk about this week specifically, because you did come, whether you're the most famous of this generation's bettors or not, you did come to fame. We talked about this a little last time you were on, but I want to sort of reiterate this. This was the week Washington Post did a story on you years ago. You know that old rag.
Right. By the way, I just want to say that wasn't because of any talent I had or anything like that. It was because I had approached the author about peddling the Massey Peabody ratings earlier in the year.
Ah.
He knew I was a professional sports bettor as a result of that, and he wanted to do a story on a professional sports bettor betting the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That's fair. I just want to say luck was very heavily involved.
Involved. But that you made your hay Super Bowl when Super Bowl props used to come out, and it was a defined, the Westgate is releasing them at this time on Thursday night, and you were in line, you had run your models, you had identified edges. And last time you were here, we talked about how that has changed over time. How has it changed over time?
Well, the Westgate is no longer the be-all, end-all of Super Bowl prop openers. They are kind of late to the party in a way. Now it's led by DraftKings, FanDuel, other U.S. operators that are coming out on Monday. And so it's more of the pageantry, in my opinion. And I know it's not really pageantry, but it's, I don't know, for a sports
pageantry.
Better, it kind of is.
Yes.
There's the annual tradition of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Westgate still does book opinions. They'll put a number that's off market and say, this is what we think it should be, knowing very well that maybe William Hill's at a different number or that DraftKings is at a different number.
So you got to respect that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If it's opening up at DraftKings, we don't have to get into information you want to give, but are you going around the country yourself? Let's limit it to Vegas. If the Westgate is opening at you know, a defined time, but like William Hill is a more nebulous open, they kind of roll out because it's the formulaic props first, mm-hmm. and then they get a little more creative. Are you constantly looking to see, like, how many times are you updating app? Oh, they don't have them up yet. Oh, they do have them up yet. Like, how does that week work for you?
In the past, that's what I'd been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've all had
constantly
those
weeks checking.
There. Yeah.
This year, not so much. This year, I decided to take a more relaxed approach to it.
Which means, because you alluded to this last time, some of the better value is actually before the game itself now.
Yes. And so I kind of made the conscious decision to say, I'm not going to try to get every off opening number, the gravy we used to call it. You know, a book hangs -4.5 or +4.5 instead of -4.5 on a cross sport prop. Actually, Frank B mentioned this mm-hmm. yesterday.
Yep.
Something like that. A book has 72.5 rushing yards for someone when everybody else is at 65.5. Things like that. I'm not getting those. I'm not getting the insane value. But when I look at my portfolio at the end of the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, getting these off-market opening numbers is such a small percentage of it anyway that it really isn't worth the extra investment and effort that goes into it and the stress of trying to be first everywhere.
Small percentage of it because you are limited in a way that you aren't later?
Yeah, because you can only bet the openers once.
Right.
Right.
$1,000, get to the back of the line.
Well, at Westgate, it's $2,000 gets to the back.
Yeah.
But even if let's say I'm at the South Point right when they release their openers, I'm going to be betting $1,000 or $2,000 a pop, whatever they'll take. And I'm going to bet through all the really, really good value, but I'm not going to get down that much money on it.
Chrissy Andrews, who runs the South Point Sportsbook here, was on with me, as he is every Monday, and he was saying, you know, two guys basically moved a lot of our props. And I asked him, I go, because he won't reveal who it is, and I said, does one of them rhyme with Schmoofus Schmeebody? And he wouldn't reveal it, but I'm guessing you might have been one of them?
Right. I came down and bet some props, but I did it. Well, I didn't get the openers.
You just did it based on your numbers.
Based on my numbers, yeah. And props that I thought would move or essentially wouldn't be getting better closer to game time.
So with the go ahead.
I was going to say, for example, like I actually bet on a lot of yeses. Like I laid prices on both teams to score over 2.5 touchdowns, individual bets, not together. I did actually bet no on Mahomes like touchdown pass in the first quarter and Mahomes no touchdown pass in the third quarter. Kind of random esoteric props like that that are based on my projection, but also knowing the distribution of these things.
And you, the Mahomes one is interesting because you don't know the result of the coin flip and who's deferring and
correct.
Who's receiving. So that's the sort of fly in that ointment, isn't it?
Well, I bet the no on both the first and the third quarter. So I assume they're not going to get the kickoff in one of those quarters.
Oh, you did in both. I see. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. But
my number on those, like the 50% chance of getting the kickoff is baked into that.
What else did you bet that you're willing to talk about?
Like, as I said, nothing that I remember, to be honest. I'd have to actually look at my sheet.
Let me ask you something specific.
I can pull it up, though.
Yeah, please do. So the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl, so February of 2017, the game where the score in the middle of the game, 28-3 Falcons, is more famous than the actual final score. I was back there with Chrissy and Vinny for the second half of that game. And at one point after it was 28-3, remember the Patriots scored, and then I want to say Gostkowski missed an extra point. And so it was 28-9. And Chrissy all of a sudden went into what appeared to him, or what seemed to him like an eternity. In real time, it was only like 10 to 15 minutes where he had to sweat this. But you had bet the Patriots' final outcome being 9 points. And he would be in it for six figures. Do you have any of those specific bets this year?
I do remember that one well. And we finally hit one of those with the Rams Patriots. Yeah.
How much did that pay off, the Rams ending on three?
I don't remember. I think Zach White got to it first.
And Zach White always gets to it first.
Yeah.
you have some of those this year?
For sure. Not a lot of them.
Okay. Rivers doesn't want
to. After the Rams Patriots Super Bowl, books realized that, hey, maybe it's possible that a team doesn't score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Or it put a scare in them because there was a chance at one point that no touchdown was scored at all by either team.
Right.
And so I will say I did bet the Chiefs to not score or to have 0 points at 200-1 odds.
This year?
Yeah.
Chiefs to score 0 points?
Yeah.
200-1?
Yeah. I mean, it's a small edge,
right?
But I kind of just enjoy those bets.
An edge is an edge, right? Like, value.
I love
value.
The index props.
Yeah,
those are my D-gen props.
And it's all—it's also one of these things too with Super Bowls. And I think this applied to your Rams getting on three. Just because something hasn't happened before does not mean it is likely not to happen.
Well, think about the prop bet. Will there be a scoregami? Literally, a scoregami is the definition of something that hasn't happened yet.
Literally, yes.
So if you modeled that just with a regression or something, you'd be like, oh, 0% chance.
Well, I used to say that about the Triple Crown in horse racing. Remember, it was like 37 years where no horse won a Triple Crown, but there was all these close calls, and people were like, well, it hasn't happened. It can't happen again. And there'd be all these great odds about horses winning a Triple Crown, more simplified version of that. We'll coax some other wagers out of Rufus. What has he bet thus far? And perhaps, what is he waiting on betting on? Come closer to game time. Super Bowl 57 with Rufus Peabody in studio. Doubleheader with the Megapod this morning on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney, numbers game at Price Horse. Problem for Billy Walters was no attorney would let Phil testify without immunity from prosecution. There still is a little old thing called the Fifth Amendment, and any first-year law student can tell you that you can't let a client self-incriminate. Well, Mark, you are correct. That was what Phil Mickelson's attorneys said they would do, take the Fifth on everything. Phil Weiss, MJ would have won that game last night. That's what I said earlier, Phil. That's the difference. That's the difference. No way the Bulls are losing that game last night. Easy pickings, too. Billy Walters had the most extensive network of outs. He might still. I said that as well. He said Spanky seems to be the current Billy Walters in that regard. Rick Olier. We love our guy Spanky. Rick Olier. Guys, I've been driving around in circles around Hoover Dam looking for the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men. Are you here yet? I'm starving. We're not there yet, yeah. Rick.
Look for the row of dead transistor radios that will lead you right into the desert.
Again, why is it so quiet around here? It seems like everybody left or gone went somewhere. Rich PSM or Rich Pism. Feel the same on the Chiefs, except does it matter if Hurts' shoulder is much better? Talking about Drew Dinsick's segment earlier. This is from Rich. He says, guys, why would Phil's testimony get Walters off, still committed the crime? Rich, I'm actually with you. I have that same thought. But that's why we should tune in to the interview, Brent and Billy, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, see if they get into that. And this is from A.J. Fiore at A.J. He says, Gil, you sounded like Al Cervic from Caddyshack when talking to Rufus about his stash. This is the worst-looking mustache I've ever seen. Looks good on you, though. Great movie. It's a great movie. Rufus Peabody, kind enough to join us. He's doing a doubleheader, for God's sakes, with me, and I have to bust on his mustache. Someone texted in, our buddy Bill Ady texted in. He goes, I thought Warren Sharp was on the show for a second.
Oh, God.
That's great. Before we get back to football, waste management. The other thing you're most known for besides betting Super Bowl props is probably golf betting. What do you think about this? What have you bet?
A lot of things. But I love John Rahm. Like a broken record saying that, although there was a time when the market caught up a little bit. But I love him this week.
What'd you get him at?
I got him anywhere from 8-1 to 850. Well, plus 800, plus 850.
You said where you bet it, they moved it to what?
I bet it at plus 825 at Circa, I think yesterday morning. They moved it to plus 625. And it's now plus 595. But this is kind of crazy. I don't know. I wouldn't book a number of this or anything, but I make the number plus 570. That's what my sims spit out.
Really? In that field?
Again, I'm probably a little bit high here, but Rahm has everything going for him. He's a local. He went to Arizona State. He lives in Arizona. He's got great course history there, and it's a great course fit for his game. Driving is really important, and he's all around the best driver in the world if you're looking at both distance and accuracy.
Would you like to share another outright that you bet, maybe?
Let's see what's – I probably bet this. It looks really good. Bo Hostler, 250-1 at DraftKings.
Bo Hostler,
there
Kelly.
There you go.
250.
He was in the action last week.
He was, yeah. I had a Bo Hostler outright last week, too.
You can keep going, Rufus. I don't have to prompt you on each of these.
I like Keith Mitchell.
Keith, but he was right down to the wire last week at Pebble.
I mean, I make him 59-1. There are 70-1s out there. A rogue 80-1 here or there.
He was one of the guys that was up there in my numbers too. I ended up staying away from him, but that was where I was telling you, Gil, I was almost looking for reasons to cross off some of these guys. And that one was, well, he was playing Monday at Pebble, so I'm not gonna play him.
So back to Super Bowl 57 here for a second. Do you have a play on the game itself, on the side or total?
No, I don't.
Nothing.
I have some futures bets pending, but
on the
Chiefs and the Eagles.
Nice.
Not big ones. These were placed during the playoffs at different points.
What prop are you, this is a weird way to say it, the most proud of, but which one are you like feeling good about right now?
Which prop am I feeling good about?
Come on. You like some better than others.
Yeah.
I'm going to shake it out of you, Rufus. What do you got?
I don't know which prop. Like,
just okay. give us a couple. Just okay. go for free. Just riff on them.
I actually like I like under on sacks.
Four.
Under 5.5 for the game.
Oh, total
but
game.
I actually think that this is going to sound off market a little bit, but I don't believe that the Eagles are going to get more sacks than the Chiefs.
You do not believe that the Eagles will get more sacks than the Chiefs. You bet that accordingly in some way?
Not yet, really.
Okay.
I think the Eagles sacks are going to – I mean, I'm hoping to get down a big position on under sacks, and it's gonna happen over the course of, you know, days leading up to the Super Bowl.
So that's what I'm interested in also. The ones you haven't made but you are still looking forward to making because
– That's almost everything.
Almost everything. Is it primarily stuff that you're going to bet under on in general, though?
Yes.
Because the way that the public is wired, they're just going to bet overs on everything.
Right. They like betting on things to happen.
And that wasn't the case as now that we have more states legalized, we didn't have any prior to May of 2018. But is that a function of, because you didn't used to come in here 4 years ago and say that was your primary strategy, right? Is that a function just because we have tens and tens more million people betting into this stuff and it's just that easy at this point to know that that's the behavior and you've got to exploit that behavior?
I think it's also maybe a function of just the fact that openers aren't as good anymore also.
Hmm. Well, openers aren't as good. Let's define that. Meaning you don't have as big of an edge anymore.
Correct. The books know what they're doing more because you have DraftKings, FanDuel, et cetera, booking most of these props every single week.
Yeah.
You know, they're booking, will this team have a scoreless quarter? Yeah. Things like that. Will there be a roughing the passer penalty called?
It used to be just the domain of this game.
Right, exactly. If you're only booking something once a year, you don't really get that feedback, and you don't learn as a book what's mispriced and what isn't. And so if you're booking these things every week, you get that feedback, and you learn pretty quickly how to price things.
I don't want to make your head explode, but do you delve into any of the cross-sport stuff at all?
Personally, not. I'll see if one of my partners will get into it, but it's a lot of work.
I guess I shouldn't ask about the anthem then.
Definitely not.
Cross-sport ones are always tough to me too. I don't know. I'm going to look at some of the golf-related ones, Rufus. Like, I don't know if you've looked at any of those. I just haven't had the time yet, right? It's once you go through looking at all the Super Bowl props and then golf handicapping, then you got to go and compare two different things that are happening on two wildly different events.
Some of them are just, I mean, if it's like somebody's round four score against receiving yards, it's literally like, okay, it's going to be between 67 and 72 or something like that, right?
But that should play, you're a golf better, that should play right, and you should be able to determine those at a glance.
My golf handicapping doesn't really matter at all for that. Whether I'm getting 68, whether it's 68 receiving yards or 70 receiving yards isn't that big a difference.
When do you make your first bets into next season? Futures markets.
August, maybe.
Don't even care about it now. Too much free agents. Anything before free agency, not interesting.
Well, it's just that I tie up money for a full year.
Yeah.
And I've nothing against people doing that, but that's just not the way I've approached things.
What is the thing you bet on that we would be most surprised that you bet on?
On the Super Bowl?
Okay, let's take on the Super Bowl.
Or just in general.
Let's do both. On the Super Bowl and then in general, since you walked into it.
On the Super Bowl? Okay. I bet that there would be 9+ touchdowns scored.
I love this.
10-1 odds.
10-1 odds, 9+ touchdowns.
So I actually have some alternates that I have some. Most of my bets now are actually on things to happen and the game to be exciting. Now, such a small fraction of my bets are down that by game time, it's going to be skewed very, very much the other way.
9+ touchdowns at 10-1. I like it. What about beyond?
I also bet 3 touchdowns at like 12-1, I think. So
3 touchdowns, exactly.
Exactly 3.
So the other side of the spectrum, if
you
will.
Well, most likely it's going to be between 4 and 8.
Yes. What about, so beyond football and golf, what would be the most surprising thing to us that you bet on regularly?
I mean, I basically just bet golf, college basketball, and NFL.
College basketball is your new thing. Rough night yesterday, you're telling me. We don't have to get into that.
Yeah, I mean, we were due for one.
Yeah, it happens. Your good luck charm wasn't in town for you.
Right.
Are you ready to do this all over again on the Megapod?
Let's do it.
All right. Rufus Peabody. Good luck with all those bets. Hope you cash on some of those, if not all of those. Come and join us, Megapod. We'll have it posted later today. Todd Wishnev, Jeff Parlay, Rufus Peabody, and I. Super Bowl Megapod Props Edition, our final football one of the year. It's next. Lombardi Line from Phoenix with Patrick Maher next. Enjoy from Visa, the sports betting.